Let's turn to Luke 15. We're going to continue in Luke 15. Last week we considered the parable of the lost sheep, and this week we'll continue with Christ's parables in Luke 15 and look at the parable of the lost coin. Luke 15, verses 8 through 10. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Amen. Now, last week in the parable, when we discussed the lost sheep, there's a little bit of a different emphasis here. There's still a parable about something that was lost and is now found, but Jesus shows us another aspect of that. For here, he emphasizes the diligent efforts to seek and to save that which is lost. So let's first understand what we're referring to here. The missing piece, silver piece, that was portrayed, and it's portrayed in our parable, was likely part of the woman's dowry. It was probably an ornamental decoration of her wedding headdress. So a modern equivalent would actually be like a woman's engagement ring and wedding band that was studded with diamonds. And so you can see that the loss of one of these silver pieces or a diamond from your wedding ring was not purely financial, but more so sentimental and maybe even relational. And so the loss of one silver piece would cause dismay and anxiety and worry. And that one that was lost, that one piece that was lost, it belongs to the rest of the silver pieces, doesn't it? In other words, that headdress would be incomplete. And so they should be together, always linked, connected with the bride and with one another, just as God's children are. And so that one that's off and lost somewhere on the dirt floor of the home, should be brought together with the rest of the silver pieces, just like a lost sinner out there should be brought and linked with the rest of the family of God. And so, like a lost diamond from a wedding ring, we understand that finding this silver piece is pretty important. We don't just say, that's no big deal. The woman, in fact, seeks diligently for it. In fact, she will not stop until she finds the missing piece. So she places a high priority on it. In other words, the calendar, everything is canceled, right, until we find the missing piece. And in our day, we would say she turned the whole house upside down searching for this thing to relentlessly find this. So a great deal of care is Christ's message to us today. A great deal of care is given in her search, lighting a lamp, because it was probably dark, sweeping the house, searching carefully. And of course, these represent the various means and methods that God brings lost souls home to himself. He has lit the candle of the gospel, just as God goes out to man. Man does not go to God. He has swept the house by the convictions of the word, and he seeks diligently to bring these lost souls to himself. Our God is not lazy or slack in bringing his wandering children to the paths of righteousness. He goes to the most extreme lengths, and it continues today, for God's love is surely directed right upon his children, to those lost coins on the dirt floor. For God demonstrates his own love for us in this way: while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. So there's an eagerness by which God pursues the sinner, a diligence, you could say a meticulousness, a comprehensive thoroughness. Everything is searched, and he will not let one of his own go. You're a silver piece in the headdress of the bride of Christ. He's not going to just let you go. Aren't you thankful for that? And note that Christ himself, while he's giving this parable, he is zealous. He's active. He's persistently seeking the lost. He unashamedly extends his love and grace to the sinners of the day, the publicans and moral outcasts. He entered their homes. He ate with them. So he was even given the name Friend of Sinners. So the question for us today is, what are we diligently seeking? Do we have that fervor for the lost, that we may seek which is lost and tell those who live in sin that Christ died for the ungodly? As we walk through this Christian life, are we looking at ourselves? Are we too busy with our full calendars and distracted by the fascinations of the world? Or do we display that same eagerness as Christ, radiating that warmth of the gospel zeal and rejoicing with the angels of God over one sinner who repents? Yes, we must remember that this is what heaven is looking for, the sinner who repents. We're told it brings about this angelic rejoicing. May it be what we rejoice over too. And may the rejoicing over repentance just overshadow the trite celebrations of the works of men. Now, later in our service today, we're going to hear about how the Lord sent the prophet Nathan to David to expose his egregious sin, because God loves David. And he would not leave him alone. He would not let him get away with adultery and murder, as we're going to see. God seeks and prods and relentlessly pursues his own, turning the whole house upside down with diligent love for his children. God would not let David alone until he repented and walked in the light. And he does the same for us today. So as we go to our time of confession, just three considerations we can pray on as we pray individually. First, I pray that we would all grow with a fresh conviction of God's love for his own. God diligently seeks and saves, and he won't let any of his own go. He keeps us on the pilgrim path, bringing us again and again to repentance. Secondly, may we remember that we are called to be diligent and persistent and bold and unashamed ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us, 2 Corinthians says, making his appeal through us, that our lives may proclaim, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. And thirdly, there are many wonderful achievements and accomplishments that we celebrate in our own lives and families, and these are good and worth celebrating. Birthdays are good. But may our biggest joys be in our repentance, when that which was lost is found. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you turn the whole house upside down, demonstrating your love for us in this, even crucifying your own son for our sake. This is love. You don't just search for the lost car keys, as it were, for a minute or two and give up, but you continue to press on for eternity to seek your lost ones, that they may be found. Oh God, we are so thankful that you bring all of your means of grace to bear, to perfect, establish, and strengthen, settle us in Jesus Christ, and bring forth repentance once again. Lord, we thank you for this. And we now take a moment to individually confess our sins to you.